After basketball, I had no idea what I was. I was frustrated with just everything. I went to a darker place in my life where alcohol was involved. I had to basically hit rock bottom. That keep growing, keep grinding kind of thing was a situation where I had to figure out, okay, you're a blank canvas. Let's figure out how you're gonna do to move forward. How you're gonna start building to get to where you wanna be.
Welcome to the Learn It All podcast with your hosts, Learn It CEO, Damon Lemby, and SVP of Product, Darren Bridget. Our mission is to explore how continuous growth shapes the path to success. Our guests are high achievers who've learned there's always something new to discover. They'll share their stories, strategies, and insights with you. So whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, an aspiring athlete, or simply someone who believes in the lifelong pursuit of knowledge, this podcast is for you. Join us now for the latest episode as we continue the Learn It All's journey through a world that never stops teaching.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Learn It All podcast. I'm Darren Bridget, Senior Vice President of Product here at Learn It. Sitting alongside my partner in crime, the CEO of Learn It, co-host Damon Lemby, and we are joined today by Travis Reed for a really cool episode. Travis Reed has an amazing career as a basketball player, transitioning into podcasts and YouTube channels, being a sales leader. And he also is going to talk to us today a little bit about relationships, but we'll get to that later. Just quickly to you up, Travis, professional basketball player, 10 years overseas, MVP in Holland, 2004. I want to talk about that winning season in 2004 where you got like MVP of everything. I think they lobbied to put you on the flag in Holland that year. And after that, transitioned into almost like a podcast entrepreneur. You've got a few different channels that you host, as well as moving into sales. Of course, we're very focused on learning. So it's like, what did you learn along this way? And what are those connections between really grinding it out in sports and achieving success and applying that same mindset to sales? So with that, Travis, can you just tell us a little about your story? Just the shorter version. Not the whole episode first. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the introduction. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Pretty much, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. Moved out to Fontana with my father in high school. Became one of the top high school players in the country. I went to UCLA. Was part of the number one recruiting class in the country where they made players like Baron Davis, Earl Watson, Dan, et cetera, Matt Barnes, et cetera, et cetera. Went there for a couple years. Transferred to Long Beach State. Finished out, got my degree. Thank God, got my degree in communications at Long Beach State. That'll be better for like later on. I didn't realize it at the time, but it really helped me out. I was all Big West, first team, 2 years in a row at Long Beach State. Actually got drafted like number 59 or something, but I knew I wasn't gonna make the team. So I immediately went overseas. I went to Bogota, Colombia. And that was my first year, like my first place I played. Now, I didn't watch Cocaine Cowboys, otherwise my mom wouldn't let me go.
I wouldn't let you go.
She was like, so she'd have been like, oh, no, you're not going. And went over there for my first, about for 4 or 5, 6 months, signed a contract to go to Poland. But like I said, my first year was very interesting for a lot of people. Like, it was a year of perseverance because Poland, I got cut simply because I wasn't tall enough. I wasn't the tallest guy. He wanted like a 6'11 guy. I wasn't 6'11 mouse. Then I went to France and they released me. The coach got fired. And the new coach that came in wanted a different guy. Then went to Belgium and coaches didn't like me. And I ended up in Holland. So I was, in 2 months, I was all over the map.
Wow.
Yeah. Of playing my first year overseas. Stayed in Holland for 4 years. One, obviously, my first year, I won what they call statistical MVP, which is basically the person with the best stats, overall stats in the whole country. It's basically the real MVP, but they have two separate MVPs over there. So won that my first year, stayed in Holland, won the championship in 2004, like you were saying, All-Star Game MVP, championship, finals MVP, all that stuff. It was like a big year for me that year. I would say that was probably overall my best year overseas. Stayed there a couple more years, won one more championship, ended up going to Estonia, went over there, and won MVP of Baltic League, won MVP of Estonian League, all that, led the league in score. So won another championship there, Played in Estonia for about 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. Then went to Romania, which is an interesting experience, to say the least. We don't have to get into specifics, but like it was very interesting. Romania. Played in Ukraine, played in Germany and for a year. And that was, I got injured. I had stress fractures in both my shins. So I had to have surgery. So I missed a year in the midst of those 10 years. I tried to go to play, but my legs wasn't healed. After I had those surgeries, my career never really was the same.
Yeah.
I was about to make, if you want to say, life-changing money overseas. I was making really good money, but then I was about to sign a huge deal. Then I got injured. And then I got injured again playing pickup in the States, getting in shape for the season. And like I said, I got played 3 more years, but the money wasn't ever the same. Yeah. And things were different, but the greatest blessing happened in my life, which was my son. He was born the year that I was injured. After that, after I retired, I wanted just to focus on my son. I did 10 years. I was blessed to play 10 years. And I just focused on my son. Like, one, like, okay, I'm going to just, he's the next one. So we'll figure things out. But I'm not going to lie to you, Dan. It was, after I retired, it was a really huge struggle. And I thought that I just didn't know what place I was besides an athlete. Obviously, most athletes, even if you're in high school, college, professional, it was a struggle because my whole life was sports, from the age of 5 to 33. And after, I was like, okay, now what? You have a son to feed. You got to figure out what you want to do now. Everybody said, go be a coach or a trainer. And I'm just like, people don't realize, like we were talking about off the air, that when you start at coaching, you start at the bottom of the totem pole. Unless you have a great connection with somebody, you're going to start off with the low money, low, high hours. Yeah. And I just have that kind of, I needed capital for my son. And so that's why I went into sales after like picking myself up out of the depression, which took a little while, maybe a couple of years, figure out who I was as a person. Like I said, going into sales is, something that I was like, I read about it and listened to people and I realized, okay, sales is similar to sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
You deal with a lot of different people on a daily basis. And for me, I can deal with anybody. I've dealt with crazy coaches and coaches that didn't speak English and players that like were crazy. And I've dealt with all types of different situations. And I had to self-motivate because when you're in Europe, it's just you. It's not nobody else. It's not your family. It's not your friends. Now you call your home, but it's not the same. So a lot of dudes, they can't take it. So they leave after 2-3 years because it's just like, I can't function without my friends and my family around me. And so for me, sales is like a self-driven kind of thing, even though you're doing it within a team concept. And that's why I went into going into sales as a job. And the podcasting thing happened during COVID. Side story, my best friend who I went to UCLA with, Billy Knight, we were friends since he was about 14. He passed away during COVID, or 2018, but like during COVID, I really gave him a chance to reflect about him. I was kicking the can down the road, if you want to say. And I just thought, man, like his story needs to be told and so many other athletes' story need to be told. And so I started a podcast called A Travis Reed, A Basketball Life with my brother. And that was my first podcast ever started. So we just talked about basically my 10 years overseas. And so many people listened to it. So many people liked it. They were like, man, dude, like I want to get on your show and talk about my years professional. And that's when my show on Athletes Journey came to pass, where like I talked to former athletes of all sports. And we just talk about the journey. Like I said, their journey from the beginning to how I was in the middle. And then obviously after, because everybody thinks like life is sweet when you're an athlete, but the lights go off just like that when your career is over. And it could end in high school, it could end in college, it could end professional. And now you got the next thing. It's like you've been a lawyer for 26 years or whatever, and all of a sudden, okay, be a doctor. Okay, how do you do that? And like I said, it's been a process. And like I said, I'm continuing to grow and learn and doing things that as an older gentleman now, like I never thought I would do when I was younger. So yeah. So like I said, that's my journey in a small nutshell.
I appreciate you sharing what it feels like, what it's really like to go, like you said, when the lights go off and it's not necessarily easy. You know, I mean, it takes some time to wrap your brain around that change and emotionally get yourself prepared for what's different. But it also sounds like you did use what you'd learned before, including actually, I just keep picturing you like 20 years old and or whatever it was, 21, like Bogota, with by yourself trying to pursue your dream without any sort of family support and throughout Europe. But in a certain sense, it sounds like you were able to bring some of that, like what you learned, to just get it done on your own in a certain way, to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then bring to that team player component as well.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree with that. Like I was saying before, Darren, like it was like you are by yourself. And when I mean by yourself, you're 9 hours ahead of anybody in the States. So when it's nighttime for you, it's crack of dawn for everybody else. They're just getting up, whatever the case is. And people got work, people got jobs. So it's not like they can just sit and talk to you for 2 hours because you're home and they got to go to work.
Yeah.
So you might get a call like, hey, good morning, mom. Good morning, dad. Hey, how you doing? All right, son. All right, I got to go work. Bye. Like that. And then when you're asleep, that's when they're calling. So I must have got every call at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning, like, hey, just checking on you. Damn, I'm 4 in the morning.
I'm asleep.
Call you in a couple hours. Hey, yeah. Boy. Yeah. So it was, you have to really, like I said, like you have to have a routine and you have to execute your routine on a daily basis. So whatever you have to do for the day. For me, I made every day one day. My goals were, okay, this morning I'm going to get up, I'm going to watch some World CNN, eat some breakfast, I'm going to go to the gym, work out, come back, ice my leg, take a nap, get ready for practice, so on and so forth. And that was like a daily basis. So every day was that. I didn't think about the States when I was there. Like when I was in Europe, I was thinking about Europe. I wasn't thinking about, that was my mindset to where that's how I function. Like I'm in this world and the States is another world. Yeah. So people get homesick, people get this and that, and they be like, man, I'm ready to go home. I'm not saying that didn't happen, but it happened a little bit less frequently when I put my mindset to where this is where I'm at, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, fully committed to where you're at.
Yes, yes.
So Travis, what was it? First of all, I think it's an amazing journey. Thank you for having me as a guest on your show a couple of months ago.
Great guest. I enjoyed you.
Yeah, and thank you. And I just think about you, all these different countries you played in, all these different coaches. What were the differences? I assume that the coaching was different everywhere you went. Is that fair to say?
Yes and no, because most of my coaches are a little crazy, a little obsessed. I had, when I was in Holland, my first year, I had a player's coach who was a legend in his own right. He played on like the Dutch national team. Mm-hmm. He won a lot of games in Europe and things like that. Yeah. Then my second through my fourth year, I was with Phil Jackson of coaches over there. He won 16 or 17 championships. He's written like 4 or 5 books over there. He still commentates on, because they have a commentator for the NBA games, and he does in Dutch version of it. So they love him. He's beyond a legend over there. He's won multiple championships. I was a part of his last championship. His last 2 championships. So like he was, as far as intensity, he was like probably the most intense coach I've ever had in my life, besides maybe my father. And then when I went to Holland, I thought I was going to get away from that. Then I went to another intense coach. But he was a little less intense than my coach in Holland. But yeah, it was a situation where coaches are, like I said, like you said, they're different, but similar in the fact that they wanted to win at all costs. And what people don't realize in Europe is like, we're on the worst contracts in all of sports in a way. At least with people say NFL football, like at least they get their bonus money up front. Year to year contracts. And sometimes you don't even get the year. Sometimes it happens where they run out of money. Sponsorship dry up and for the last month of the season, we don't got it. So imagine you still got to play and you're playing for no money.
How do you get paid?
Yeah, like you get paid once a month, and whatever. Let's just say you made $5,000 U.S. dollars. You signed for a contract.
Yeah,
that's not euros. So basically, you're getting 3,200 euros.
Yeah.
So the money, you get less euros than dollars, but the fact that like you might be getting, instead of getting the 5,000 you thought you were getting, you may be getting 42. And they can cut you at any time if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, meaning not even off the court stuff. Like if you're not averaging what they want you to average, if you're not winning, they at December, halfway, you're cut. I have a year contract. No, you don't. You're cut. No, nothing. They just give you a ticket home. So it's like really tough, a really tough situation.
It sounds like you got incredible preparation for any sort of cutthroat business world. Is like, how does business and sales, how did this prepare you for that transition in particular?
Well, I would definitely say that it prepared me a lot because, like I was just saying, it's so cutthroat over there. There's some teams that are loyal to you to a certain extent, as long as you're helping them. But if you're not helping them, they will, you know, all right, next, see you next. And so I think the main thing about with Europe and sales is that it's performance-based. And it's like, you have to perform or they will get rid of you. Period, point blank. I'm not saying, I don't think that there are some businesses that do that if you're strictly like numbers. But there are situations where if you're not performing to the level of what they expect,
yeah,
then no matter what you did in the past, they were still thinking about maybe moving on to the next thing.
Sure.
And that's sales, obviously, that everybody knows in sales, especially if you're a high sales company, if you're a billion-dollar company, they're on to the next thing just like that. And I worked for Enterprise, which is, you know, worth whatever, $20 billion or whatever it is now. It was like $15 billion years ago when I worked there. And that's the highest turnover rate you've ever seen. People come in in February and they're out by mid-March because they just can't take it. They can't handle the situation. They can't handle the hours. They can't handle it. I've seen it. I came in with 150 people when I first started with Enterprise, and I was there for about 2.5 years. By the time I left, it was 6 of us. Everybody was like, man, forget this.
That's tough. Yeah. Hey, so Travis, let me ask you this. Because you've been doing podcasts now for what, 3 or 4 years?
Something like that. Yeah, about 3 years.
What have you learned from being a podcast host? And what has it made you better at as far as, like for me as a podcast guest, I've really learned to be a better listener and ask different types of questions. But have you seen anything for you as far as how you've grown from being a podcast host?
Yes, I've learned how to communicate better, which helps not only myself, my family, my son, and listen. I love the fact that you said that. Listen, really listen. And not just like I feel like some people listen, but they're really waiting for their turn to talk.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying? So even in the conversation that we're having, some people will be like, they're talking, they're listening, but they're really like, okay, now I want to talk. Where me in podcasting, you have to sit, and somebody might have a story that might last 10 minutes. Airtime, that's, you know, a long time. Yeah, and so you're just like, okay. And you have to really like, really listen so you can answer the next question. Yeah. And so that's what podcasting has done for me. It's helped me really work on my communications. Actually, it helped me get back into reading.
Yeah, so, of course. You got to prep and stuff.
Yeah. So like it got me back into reading. And then basically I read so much, I started reading books. And so I started reading a lot of books. And so I started a book club because I was recommending books to people. And they were like, man, I like your book selection, dude. Yeah. What else you have? So I started a book club. It's on my LinkedIn.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
What's a good book? What's a good, Darren and I are big readers. It's still in my drawers over here, but give us a good book selection.
I love Becoming Kareem by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Okay. Like that was a great one. My first one I read was like The Pyramid of Success by John Wooden.
That's a great one.
A great one.
That's a fabulous one.
Yeah, no, I even love like from A Man Versus Male, that is by Dante Whitfield. It's basically how men are and how males are, and like the difference between the two. 52 things wives need from their husbands.
This is that little fascinating transition because you got a couple of very successful podcasts. You got your YouTube channel. That YouTube channel, by the way, is The Athlete's Journey on YouTube, right?
Mm-hmm. Travis Reed and the Athlete's Journey.
Yeah. Believe in UCLA. And then out of left field, it looks like to me, but you tell us, he said, she said, you're out there giving relationship advice. So how did that happen?
Obviously, if anybody, you live under a rock, you know who Andrew Tate is. And so I listened to a couple of his things. My son actually was like, Dad, listen to him. I'm like, first, what you listen to Andrew Tate for? He's a grown man. You shouldn't be just looking at Rock'em Sock'em Robots or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I listened to some of the things he said about, obviously, about this man-woman narrative. And it was just interesting. And so I sent it to a friend of mine. And she was like, I like Andrew. I agree with him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you do? Interesting. So in my head, I'm like, you know what? I asked, obviously, the network, just like, you know what? I want to do a relationship kind of thing. Just talk about men versus women questions, just adult stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go for it. And literally, that's what he said, she said show came about. It was like I said, me asking female questions and like different females, different questions, and they would respond. And so, yeah, that's how the show actually came about.
What have you changed about yourself since that show?
Like, similar, listening better. I think it's helped me listen. Like I said, the main thing for me in like learning how to be a better person, a better everything, father, better man, better husband, future husband, married, is listening to the person, my partner, my son, whatever the case is, what they're really trying to say, the point. I think in past situations in my life, I think I wasn't listening. I was hearing it, but I wasn't listening to the person. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what doing the podcast has helped me now as an older gentleman, help me listen. Because I think that if we all, men and men and women, both just listen to the other, your partner, not listen to the world, not listen to all this other stuff, listen to what your partner wants and try to make that for them better. Yeah. I think that relationships will last longer. And because everybody's like wanting this microwave kind of relationship to where you're in this bliss forever.
Yeah.
And that ain't the real world. That ain't the real world. I think that if people would, like I said, just listen to their partner, what their partner wants, and then the partner listen to what you want, I think it'd be a lot better.
Yeah. It's great. There's a few things that you've mentioned that feel to me like they've really been key traits for you to like success moving forwards. And then I think you have a particular vantage point to speak upon, because you talked about routine and discipline, and obviously you got that from sports, but also pursuing your dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being really good at listening. And then also finally, like, your interests weren't just limited. Like, and maybe that was a journey you had to learn. I'm actually about more than basketball. I'm actually interested in this relationship stuff too. So like that whole package of things that you have to develop and that you learn and that you apply in your life as you move forward. It's a kind of an interesting combination of things. So I guess my question would be, does that seem right to you? And what of those things feel like that's part of my key to success? Last thing I'll say, you ended one of your interviews by saying, what was it? I've got it right. Stay on the grind, stay humble, never stop chasing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was you. So like those keys to moving forward.
No, definitely. I think what you were talking about earlier, like it was a situation where, like I said, after basketball, I had no idea what I was.
Yeah.
And I had to basically, my family was, I apologized to my family just because at that time I was probably unbearable to deal with, just because it was like, I was so frustrated.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I was so frustrated. And not only with myself, but I was frustrated with just everything, like, but mainly myself, because I'm frustrated that I couldn't play anymore. I was frustrated that I wasn't where I wanted to be. I was frustrated that I got humbled to have to start from scratch again. I was frustrated and I was just angry, like to the point where I just lashed out all the time. And then when that was just, I was like a nuisance, and I'll be 100% honest with you, I went to a darker place in my life where alcohol was involved heavily. Yeah. And it just was a situation where I had to basically hit, if we want to say, rock bottom, to have to pick myself up. Now, to the outside world, like, I was trying to keep a semi-good face, but to the people that really knew me, I was MIA, but also trying to like, oh, I'm okay, but just dying inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically that keep moving forward, keep grinding, keep growing, keep grinding kind of thing was a situation where, like, I had to figure out, okay, now you're at the rock bottom. Your blank canvas. Let's figure out how you're going to do to move forward. How are you going to start building what you were building to get to where you want to be? And like you said, like I had to opening my vocabulary of thought process. Because when you're so narrow as a former athlete, you're so narrow-minded. Like, we are narrow-minded when athletes. We think what we're doing 5 feet ahead, next step. Where now that the board has changed, so now you got to think way bigger. You can't be just focused on just the one thing. And so that's how I started. Okay, let me pick myself up. Let me start one day at a time. Let me get a job that is something similar. And then where I can put my, being able to provide meant a lot to me. My father was very instrumental in my life. And so, like, he always, no matter what, he always provided for me, even if he hated the job that he did, but he was a provider. And so that's my idea. I said, okay, let me get something. And then something else, and something else. And even in the process, I had some ups and downs in the job field. It was a situation where I had to learn how to be, like I said, learn how to diversify myself. And basically, it forced me to grow as a person. Even in the midst of relationships with women, or whatever the case is, it forced me to grow. When you're an athlete, you're catered to since you were a kid. Essentially, it starts with your parents. Your parents got to drive 50 miles to this game, pick you up, go drive you 50 miles to that game the next day, pick you up, take you to school. And like they, at least my parents, I'm pretty sure your parents did the same. Like my dad, he was my coach growing up. So like my mom was like, okay, where's he at? Where's the gym? Where's this? There's no Google back then.
Right. Like,
okay, the Thomas guy looking up the map. Okay, he's here on 59 or whatever. And so just imagine those things all the time growing up as a parent. And you get used to it. And you're in relationships. I'm in relationships growing up, and everybody catered to me because I was the athlete. I always wanted, like, let's go out. No, I'm tired. Let's play the game. Or let's do this. No, I got to get ready for a game. And so, like, now that we have, just you're not doing that, you have to adjust. I'm the one taking my son to all these things. But even in if I was, you know, relationships, you have to adjust your mindset. Look, I got to do this. I can't, like, no, because I'm doing this. No, you got to, like I said, broaden your horizons and learn how to listen. And so all those things, it just helped me to grow, like I said, to be the person I am now and open my mind to a lot of different things. And it's really weird that the older you get, like you do. Yeah, man, I like going to museums. I like reading books. I like doing things other than just sporting events. Don't get me wrong, I still love sports, but like I like other stuff too.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's great that you're able to do that. Because Travis, not everybody gets there. There's, I'm sure, just like me, you have friends who are still stuck back in the playing days, and they want to talk about why they were a victim and something happened and they didn't make it. But I'm proud of you for making that change. It's hard to have an open mind and get there and get places. A question I have for you, because this is something I get asked all the time. So you got a kid. We talked about this. Do you recommend for the kids to specialize on a sport, or to be more of a generalist as they grow up?
I think you should open your mind up to different things. I don't think that you should just focus strictly on a sport, especially at a younger age. Obviously, when you're in high school, things like that, it's a little bit harder to do multiple sports in school and things like that. You might hone it down a little bit. But growing up, I definitely think you should try every sport. I don't think that you should. I did. I played basketball, football, baseball, soccer. I played everything. My father wanted me to try every sport to see whatever one I was good at. And then I started narrowing things down. Now in high school, like I said, I played football for about a week, got hit in the leg, and was like, oh, I'm out.
No, I agree with you. I went to Arizona State, and a lot of times these parents will come up to me and say, I want my kid to get a scholarship to Arizona State or a D1 school. So I got a pitching coach, a hitting coach, this and that, and they're playing year round. And the kid's 12 years old. I said, forget it. Go out there, try everything. Don't force it on them. Give you an opportunity to learn and try basketball. Try, like Darren said backstage, soccer. It's good for your footwork. I think it's really best to be a generalist, to open your mind and give the kids the opportunity to learn and do different things.
And I want to add one more thing. Pretty much, if you notice, kids younger and younger getting injured, like significant injuries, torn ACLs. And MCLs, tears, and all this other stuff, because the parents are treating the kids like a professional athlete when they're a kid. Their body's not even ready to handle all this. But that's why the AAU thing, for me, I didn't necessarily want my son to play in the AAU circuit, because it was like,
it was a grind.
It's a grind. Back when I was playing AAU, it was different. It was about literally like five teams. Yeah. Five teams. If you didn't make one of those five, you wasn't on it, period. And like I said, even with the playing on those five teams, you played games, but it wasn't like now, like you fly from here. Like we flew places, and like we flew to Texas and Washington and these other places to play. But now in the summer, you might be flying to Texas, San Antonio, Florida, all these places. Your kids are not ready for that. And like you were saying, like hitting coach, pitching coach, like you're going to wear out his arm.
Yeah.
Period. He's going to, that's why if you notice every year, it's another young person getting Tommy John surgery because their arms are worn out. They're 22 years old.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. It's good to just let the kids make the decisions themselves and let them play a bunch of different sports, pick up a guitar, do different things. So
It's a good minute to think about pursuing your dreams. Cause yeah, you want to have some single-minded focus and you want to go all in, but you can overdo it and actually like damage yourself and certainly physically damage yourself, but you also limit yourself in terms of the creativity, the other adjacent skills that you could bring to it, all the things that you used to actually transition into what you do. It's not just like the hedgehog, only that thing I focus on all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. I think you got to be, like I said, in this day and age, you got to be able to do multiple things.
Yeah.
You can't be just single-minded, focused on one thing. I think because people, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you don't chase your dream. I'm not saying like you don't focus on and lock in on what you ever want to do. If you want to be a basketball player, chase your dream as hard as you can, focus on it, lock it in. But what I'm saying is always have diversity in your portfolio. It doesn't have to be just the state. It can be a gumbo. It can be a mix of stuff. Both still are good.
You know? That's a good point. Well, I think it's too bad that somebody just didn't tell you in that transition place. It's, hey, Travis, with that voice, you got to do radio. And you could have just got there right away.
I think that's the thing about the struggle. I think like nobody, that's why I do, one of the reasons why I do my show, Dan, is because I want to tell athletes like, yeah, man, it's okay to do podcasts. And if you notice now, you got guys who are in the NBA, NFL doing it as they're playing. You got Ron Greens.
Yeah.
You got Micah Parsons. You got people who are doing these shows while they're playing. And I think, like I said, that's a great thing. I think if I would have known, like you said, like just straight to the podcast and thing like right away, like maybe I would have been doing it for 10 years instead of just a couple. But I think that's also part of the learning process of the struggle. I think there's a great quote by Frederick Douglass, where without struggle, there's no progress.
Yeah.
So you have to deal with the struggles to get to where, appreciate the way where you're going.
Yeah, it's awesome. Travis, how do people get in touch with you? What's next for you?
Pretty much, like I said, just working. And obviously the work is the work, but like they can get in touch with me. You will follow me at Travis W. Reed on Instagram and at Travis W. Reed on at Travis W. Reed on Facebook and Travis Reed on LinkedIn. Like I said, if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, and it's Travis Reed Book Club Journey, rather.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. And so it's not necessarily a huge group of people, but like we all saying different books. I would say number one book, I forgot to mention that too, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
Great book.
Book. Yeah. And his second book, Never Finished, is just as good.
I haven't read that one yet.
Yeah.
I read Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah. Can't Hurt Me. It's insane. If you read the book, you'd be like, oh, I get why he's insane. And he's just obviously, he does what he does. But yeah, Never Finished is insane. It talks about his journeys of running those 100-mile marathons and with no training. And I'm like, this dude, So anyway, But definitely, like I said, like just doing that, I'm in the process of trying to write a book. In the process of that right now. I'm in the editing phase. So hopefully everything will be done by maybe end of summer, 2024. Yeah, I'm trying to do that. And like I said, just moving forward, looking for as many opportunities I can get my hands on as far as like anything. Like the good thing about me now is I'm open to a lot of anything. I'm open to a lot of.
Really inspirational story. And I think for so many people that are out there, thank you for sharing and being vulnerable, frankly, like showcasing what that journey is really, and that you can get through change in your life by being somebody that's open to learning, having that discipline, and being a good listener.
And Travis is just a good dude. You really are, Travis. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. So
same. No. I mean? Same.
Yeah.
Thank you. Come today, Travis.
Oh no, thank you. Like I said, I appreciate it. I was obviously never knowing not what to expect. I was like, what's it gonna be? But I was so excited for the opportunity just this
morning. Yeah. Terrific. Thank you so much for joining. Again, if you want to get in touch with Travis, you can visit his podcast. You can visit his YouTube channel. He's got the book club. He is out there. You can get in touch with him. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Learn It All podcast. Thanks, everybody.